Good morning, Outliers. Welcome back to today's Outlier Live, where we cover the biggest headlines of the day and what the AI trading data has to say about it. And if you're interested in that too, be sure to definitely hit the subscribe button down below. So our top story of the day, you know what? A lot of people have just said, F it with this housing market. I'm just going to rent forever, right? And maybe, just maybe, that's the best thing to do in this environment right now. I don't know, just maybe. Our second story of the day is it's tax season and the IRS just said they're going to be cracking down. Are you ready? I hope you're ready. I hope you got your TurboTax all loaded up and ready to go, because the IRS is going to be cracking down. And lastly, are grocery prices finally coming down? Tune in for that and more on today's Outlier Live. There is a new real estate opportunity brewing as some Americans are opting to rent. At least that's what according to this person is saying, right? Now, I will be very honest with you. I did not get a chance to read these stories this morning, so we're going to read them cold together. As economic woes are pummeling the housing industry, one real estate developer is finding opportunities within a new market with forever renters. Ooh, yikes. I got to tell you right now, I've been in my house for 8 years at this point, and beautiful house. And in that time, the price of the home has appreciated by more than double, right? I mean, it was an incredible investment. And I talked to some people who decided they were going to downsize and they were going to move and, you know, go from one place to another. And during that time, rent has just skyrocketed. And I'm looking at my house, you know, 5 bedrooms, almost 4,000 square feet, just absolutely beautiful home. They pay more on their 3-bedroom rent house than I pay for mine. And I'm looking around like, man, less than $100 a day to live here. That isn't too bad at all, especially when people are out there paying $2,600 a month to live in a very, very modest home. And a lot of people are looking at that, right? This person is saying that there's a real estate opportunity brewing in urban areas as some Americans are opting to rent instead of buying a home. They just said, screw it with this housing market. I'm just going to rent from now on. The biggest issue, especially in large established metro areas, is a lack of product. There's no such thing as a starter home in large metro areas anymore, right? So there's no such thing as a starter home in the middle of Dallas. There's no such thing as a starter home in the middle of Houston or in Austin. So I live in Texas, clearly. Or a starter home is the middle of New York City or San Francisco, right? This person argued that bigger and better apartments are the ideal starter homes for those who live in big cities. I couldn't disagree more, right? I can go through, so I live in the Dallas area. I could go through the Dallas area and find plenty of starter homes, without a doubt. Now, those starter homes a few years ago were like $135,000 to $185,000. Now those starter homes are probably $400,000. And I don't know, you correct me in the comments if I'm wrong, but I don't know if a bigger and better apartment really is the right starter home for people. Because, you know, the whole thing with starter homes is that you're getting into a home, you're building equity, and then eventually one day you move into something else with the savings and equity and appreciation that happened in that first home that you were in. Now, take away the fact that you get no equity, you get no savings, you get nothing when you leave an apartment. I'm not sure that really is the best idea for a starter home. You tell me in the comments. This person says that a portion of forever renters are of the higher end demographic, have an eye for apartments with large scale rooms, sophisticated aesthetics, and kid friendly amenities. Yeah, who doesn't? Please enlighten me. Who doesn't have an eye for large scale rooms, sophisticated aesthetics, and kid friendly amenities? That doesn't mean that I plan to rent all of my life and just really be on the struggle bus, right? Most apartment buildings, especially over the last 10 years, have been built targeting a 27-year-old. They have orange doodads as the design theme. Okay, whatever. We have a mid-Atlantic focused portfolio, this person's saying. Our average renter 10 years ago was 29. Today, it's 33. But we also have way more renters than 35 to 45, making well over 150,000 more than we used to have. Okay, so I do a lot of consulting with financial institutions. And this actually triggered me when I read this. And I read this cold, so it triggered me like 6 seconds ago. There is a segment of the population that's always transitioning, right? Think of it like people are getting divorced, people are getting remarried, people who are changing jobs, people who are packing up and moving. I think they just describe that, right? I think what they're describing here is more social anxiety, social upheaval, social unrest than anything else, right? Our average renter 10 years ago is 29. So that's somebody who's at the beginning stages of their career. Maybe they're starting to look at starting a family at 29, but at 33, and he says there's also a lot more renters between 35 and 45. These are people who have been in the workforce. Maybe they recently lost their job, and by losing their job, they could no longer afford their home, and so they are renting now. Or maybe these people are out, changing careers, changing locations. Maybe they picked up and moved from California to Texas, like all of my neighbors did. And I don't know. That just strikes a chord with me. That to me says it's not necessarily that people want to be lifetime renters. That tells me there's probably a lot more turnover out in the workforce than maybe they're accounting for. Rent could range anywhere from $4,000 to $8,000. Hang on. We need a pause for dramatic effect on that. This person said rent could range from $4,000 to $8,000, arguing it's not inexpensive, but on the favorable end compared to the cost of owning a home. Are we talking a month? $4,000 to $8,000 a month is on the comparable favorable end to the cost of... Who is this idiot? I'm glad I read this cold. This is crazy. These buildings, especially the ones we're focused on, are in locations where there is no opportunity otherwise to build new housing because they're completely filled. There's no land available, and so they're in locations that are in the highest demand. For $4,000 to $8,000 a month, I'm having a really, really hard time wrapping my brain around this. So you're telling me that people should live in a starter home, which they get no equity in. They're spending between $4,000 and $8,000 a month on the rent, which they get no equity back from ever. And, okay, I'm sorry. This is really hurting my brain here. The biggest part of this story is that the millennial generation, which I am a part of, and maybe you are too, has come of an age and an income level where in previous generations, they would have been moving to the suburbs and buying houses, and they're not. I think plenty of them are. I did. I think plenty of them are. I think that this person here, what is his name? Post Brothers CEO Michael Pastronik. I think Post Brothers CEO and co-founder Michael Pastronik is smoking something. I don't think people are excited. Hear me out. Hear me out here. I don't think people are excited to pay $4,000 to $8,000 a month for an apartment. I think people are paying $4,000 to $8,000 a month, begrudgingly so, because the housing market has gotten so unaffordable for so many people that this is just what's left over until they can actually find something to make it worth, right? $4,000 to $8,000 a month? I mean, in some places, that could pay your mortgage for 2 to 3 months, right? But just 1 month on these incredible. What did I say earlier? Hang on, I got to read this again. These incredible apartment buildings with higher-end demographics with an eye for large-scale rooms, sophisticated aesthetics, and kid-friendly amenities. Makes my skin crawl reading this. Let's take a look at what the AI trading data says for D.R. Horton, one of the largest home builders in America, D.R. Horton. We actually got a sell signal on January 4th. So, I don't know. Taking a look at that sell signal, it kind of gives me some hope, or maybe not some hope, but some realization, like maybe the housing market has peaked. Maybe this AI trading data signal here is saying, hey, the housing market may have peaked and it's starting to come back down, maybe houses will start to be more affordable and you won't have to look at $4,000 to $8,000 a month for rent, right? So we got that sell signal on January 4th. And following these signal returns, historically speaking, it's been 171.24% on these historical returns here. So this is pretty crazy. So we are in the final weeks of the outlier deal. The outlier deal gets you access to these AI trading signals right here for one price of $79, right? For you have lifetime access to this, but we are in the final stages of that. So head over to OVTLYRdeal.com while you can, because this, we are in the final weeks of this at this point. Now let's take a look at what the internet's saying about this, right? After adjusting for inflation, U.S. home prices have never been higher. And that's after adjusting for inflation, right? We take a look at this data here, 120% U.S. real home price appreciation from 1891 to 2023, 120%. The last time we peaked was around 2008, which shouldn't surprise anybody, right? Let's see what people are saying here. They were kind of stable till the 80s. Something must have changed after that. Huh? You tell me in the comments, what do you think changed after that? Unfortunately, with 3 months of existing home supply, it could get worse before it gets better. And this person says, hey, everybody can feel it, right? American dream isn't dead yet, but it's much, much harder to achieve. Yeah, for sure. And especially when there's people who are trying to get you in apartments for between $4,000 and $8,000 a month. Yeah, the American dream isn't dead. But then you've got all these people who are telling you, hey, don't even bother getting a home. Get one of our awesome apartments and it's only going to cost you $8,000 a month. Jeez. Have you done your taxes yet? Right? I don't know about you, but I am actually getting a refund for the first time in years. I could not believe it. I was like, what? I'm getting a refund? Yeah. I bought a Tesla last year and it was just enough to get us the tiniest of refunds. And I'm like, this is so cool. I've not had a refund in so long. I can't believe it. Right? The IRS, though, is saying they're going to crack down on high income tax cheats owing hundreds of millions of dollars. Now, I know that's not you. I know you wouldn't be that kind of person, right? You are not going to be a tax cheat. No, ma'am. No, sir. The IRS is going after 25,000 people who earned more than $1 million and 100,000 people with incomes between 400 and a million. The IRS has announced it's clamping down on more than 125,000 cases of high income earners who failed to file federal income returns since 2017, with the aim of recouping hundreds of millions of dollars in unpaid taxes. That's convenient. I wonder what they could be using all these hundreds of millions of dollars in unpaid taxes for. I'm not a conspiracy theorist. Or am I? Because I love a good conspiracy. But we seem to be paying for a lot of things that are, I don't know, in other countries recently, right? We seem to be funding, different European countries who are waging. I don't want to say the exact terms because I don't want YouTube flagging this. They're waging games with other countries over their borders in the Middle East as well. And I don't know, maybe the people in charge decided, we need some more money and we need to fund these things. And the U.S. government doesn't have any money, so we need to go to the people and take it from them instead. Yeah, that's exactly how my head's looking at this, right? Under this new non-filer initiative, the agency will start sending out non-compliance letters to 25,000 people who earn more than $1 million in taxes and over 100,000 people with incomes between 400,000 and a million. In all the above cases, the IRS says it received third-party information, such as through W-2s and 1099s, indicating these people received more income, but failed to file a tax return, right? The agency had limited resources to go after non-compliant earners in these tax brackets since 2016 due to severe staff and budget cuts. But, hey, didn't they just get 80,000 new IRS agents? Oh, awesome. Yeah, I wonder what they were going to use those for. And with the Inflation Reduction Act, the IRA resources, the agency finally has the funding to identify non-filers. Finally. Well, I mean, they couldn't have run that computer program before this, right? At this time of year when millions of hardworking Americans are doing the right thing of paying their taxes, we cannot tolerate those with higher incomes failing to do their basic civil duty of filing a tax return. Give me a break. Yeah. Enough said. I think we know who is driving this right there, right? Let's take a look at what the AI trading data has to say about Intuit. Intuit, the head company for TurboTax, right? We actually got a sell signal back on December 11th. So if you were a existing shareholder in Intuit, now may be the time to cash out those shares. Now may be that time. If you had been following these signals, right, you could have seen a signal return of 47.61%, which is pretty outstanding. So if you want to get your hands on some of these outstanding signals for one.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This episode is brought to you by La Quinta by Wyndham. Your work can take you all over the place, like Texas. You've never been, but it's going to be great because you're staying at La Quinta by Wyndham. Their free bright side breakfast will give you energy for the day ahead. And after, you can unwind using their free high-speed Wi-Fi. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book your stay today at LQ.com.
Low price for lifetime access, and we are in the final weeks of this. Head on over to OVTLYRDeal.com. You don't want to miss out on this, right? This is the one time we're ever going to offer it for a lifetime, and it will be ending soon. And you can get these kind of signals every single day. So be sure to head over to OVTLYRDeal.com while you can. Oh, yeah, here we go. Thanks to my... Whenever I read these kind of tweets, right, that come from the president, thanks to my Inflation Reduction Act, get off my lawn, old man. The IRS is cracking down on 125,000 high-income tax cheats who haven't filed their taxes since 2017. Hardworking Americans do the right thing and file every year. The wealthiest Americans ought to do the same. I don't know about you, but when I see this kind of stuff, it just grinds my gears, because this person, I think this person is probably following that same boat. How much have you and your family paid in taxes for all the money you receive for selling access to your office? Your son's already charged with tax evasion for millions, while he tried to expense $1 million for escorts and drugs. Meanwhile, you're going after 250,000 hardworking Americans. Not only hardworking Americans, but their companies, right? A lot of these people are entrepreneurs, and they provide the jobs. And by going after them, I'm pretty sure you're making things harder for not just them, but for those that, trickle down from them. Is Hunter paying his fair share? Thanks to your inflation, prices are so unaffordable that most of us had to take a second job. Now, this is a great place to start. The Biden's total income before 2016, and then in the next few years, what were they selling? I don't know. I'm just saying, is what it is. Hunter is on that list, right? I'm sure he is. Yeah, for sure. Grocery prices. They're still up. They're still expensive. Grocery prices are still too high. Inflation has fallen, but steep grocery prices are still crushing Americans. Hang on. I have to do this, right? Cumulative inflation. Where's it at? I need the chart. I should have had this pulled up ahead of time. Cumulative inflation chart. Cumulative inflation chart. Show me a chart. Let's go. Okay. When I see this, inflation has fallen, but steep grocery prices are still crushing Americans. Okay. Here's an app. You've got to understand how inflation works. Inflation is the rate of change over a period of time. Okay. Inflation is the rate of change over a period of time. Now, these particular rates here were, less than 1%, 2%. This one spiked up to 7, 6.5, 3.5, 3.4, and 3.1. At no point in time does that say prices have come down. It doesn't say prices came down. It never did. It never said prices came down. says the rate of change in the growth of prices has slowed. It's like you were pushing on the gas pedal. You're still pushing on the gas pedal. You're pushing a little bit deeper on the gas pedal. You're pushing a little deeper. You've let off a little bit. Now you're flooring it. You're all the way mashed on the floor. You're still going fast, right? But okay, you've backed it off a little bit. You've never taken your foot off the gas pedal. You've never once slowed down. You're still accelerating. You're just accelerating slower. You're still accelerating. You are still going up fast. But you're slowing down how fast you're going up. So when I read stories like this, steeper grocery prices are still crushing Americans. Yes, of course they are, because prices have not come down. Inflation has slowed, but the cumulative inflation still exists. Inflation is falling faster than most economists. Economicanists? You ever watch, what is that? Is it Happy Gilmore or whatever it is? One of those Adam Sandler movies where he's trying to say hippopotamus and he says hip-hop-anonymous. Yeah, that's how I feel right now. Inflation is falling faster than the most hip-hop-anonymous expected. But steep food prices are still taking a large bite out of Americans' budgets. Grocery prices have surged more than 21% since the start of 2021. That's what I'm talking about. This is cumulative. This is 21% growth overall. Cumulative growth, okay? Outstripping the overall 18% pace of inflation during that same period. And the pace of prices increase for food has slowed in recent months, but the overall cost of many grocery store staples is still marching higher. That's what I'm saying. It's still going higher. We don't have deflation. We do not have disinflation. This is what we need before the prices come back down. Now, I actually do have hope. I don't know how well you remember like the 2008 timeframe. I was just graduating college. I graduated college in, where did I graduate college? May 2007. I took a semester off and I did my grad school MBA from all of 2008. So January 2008, I graduated in December 2008. And what I remember during that time was like the Applebee's 2 for $20, right? Appetizer, two people can eat $20. And so that was my first clue that like there was a lot going on out there. I was still really green in the world, right? I was still, you know, not paying attention. But, because, you know, I'm a college kid. Who cares? But I started finding more and more times where I felt like the prices were getting less and less expensive, which is great. And this weekend, my son was telling me he saw, hey, Dad, they're having buy one, get one free Subway footlongs. And I was like, that's a good sign. I don't know if you've been to Subway lately, but man, back in my day, I used to get the meatball subs and, okay, I'm weird on my meatball subs. Total side tangent. I would get, this is what I've always had since I was like a little kid. I love it. I love vinegar. So I would get the meatball sub and then I get banana peppers. I get pickles and it just like drench it in vinegar, right? Drench it so much in vinegar where you have to eat it with a fork and a knife because you're not holding that sandwich. It's so soggy. Anyway, so I remember I would get those for, you know, $5, but the last time I caught one, I swear it was $9. And now if Subway's having buy one, get one, I think that could be a leading indicator, right? I think that could be a real leading indicator that, hey, we are about to see real disinflation, real deflation when it comes to food prices, which we need. We need. Oh, you can't tell me we don't need deflation in food prices. Because when you're stacking all of this year over year, people are just running out of money to pay for anything. Right? Man, I tell you what, we went to a restaurant this weekend. It's one of our favorite restaurants to go to. Delicious food. And we hadn't been there in a little while. And our bill was like $95. Okay. Our bill was $95. And they gave us plasticware in a paper napkin. I looked at my wife and I'm like, we have a $95 dinner and I'm eating with plasticware and a paper napkin. This is not good. This is not going to cut it. So I'm really thinking that we might start actually be seeing the beginning of the prices starting to pull back. And this person says prices rarely go back. prices rarely go back down. There's disinflation. Hang on. There's disinflation, meaning the rate of increases slows down, which I guess is where we're at. That's disinflation. But the way we dig ourselves out of this is people make more money above the rate of inflation. And so Robert Frick, a corporate economist at Navy Federal, actually kind of might know that guy, told Fox Business, that's happening right now because it's not a quick solution. It's going to take 2 or 3 years before people feel real relief from the surge of inflation, especially with things like food. Now, I'm going to have to disagree with Mr. Frick here because we're not going to see 20 and 30% increases in pay to make up for this. We're not going to see that. The only way that we're going to see prices come back down in food is for people to demand it, right? The Kellogg CEO last week was actually criticized. He came out and he's like, hey, inflation's killing you. Have cereal for dinner. Having cereal for dinner is how you fight back. Having cereal for dinner is how you take back people's power and bringing the prices down, right? If you stop going to these restaurants where they charge you $95 and they give you plasticware and napkins and paper napkins, if you fight back and you say, I'm not going there, I'm just going to eat at home, how are they going to lure you back, right? Maybe some new menu items, maybe. But if they cut their prices, by all means, I'll be a lot more excited to pay, I don't know, $39 and have plasticware instead of $95 to have plasticware. Let's continue on here. Food has been one of the most acute inflation pain points for Americans. More than 2/3 of voters said inflation hit them the hardest through the higher food prices. That's more than 50 percentage points higher than any other category, including gasoline, transport costs, transportation costs, and housing expenses. Rising food prices are a concern because those higher prices, those higher costs affect just about everybody, every household in the country. The burden is disproportionately borne by low-income Americans who spend about 30% of their income on food. You kind of have this double whammy of food and transportation. People say, oh, well, you know, the rate of inflation is going down. What's everybody complaining about? Yeah, that sentiment right there has been driving me crazy. Oh, inflation's going down. What are you complaining about? We had a story a couple of weeks ago. Bill Maher, you know, the comedian, he had Jillian Michaels on, and Jillian Michaels, you know, from The Biggest Loser, she was like, Bill, have you bought anything lately? You know, car prices have doubled, houses have tripled, eggs are unaffordable. Like, where are you getting this idea? And he's just like, numbers are saying that things are going down. Bro, they're not. It's cumulative, right? The rate of inflation is going down, but the weight of inflation continues to increase. I'm going to use that from now on. The rate of inflation is going down, but the weight of all of these inflation increases, wait, what does he say? The weight of inflation continues to increase. The rate of inflation is going down, but the weight of inflation continues to increase. All right, that is going to be a moniker of mine. If you're already under these outsized burdens because you're lower income, it just hurts a little bit more. Yeah. The rate of inflation is going down, but the weight of inflation continues to increase. Ooh, I love that. All right, let's take a look at Kroger. So let's look at the AI trading data for Kroger. We got a buy signal on Kroger. Maybe that means, hey, Kroger might be making a little bit more money. We got a buy signal back on February 22nd. Might mean that Kroger's making a little bit more money while the inflation continues to go up, right? While inflation is going down, the rate of inflation is going down, but the weight of inflation might be helping Kroger's bottom line a little bit more. And if you've been following these signal returns, you could have seen a 66.57% return from Kroger. So be sure to head over to OVTLYRDeal.com. You can get lifetime access to Outlier and get these signals every single day delivered right to your inbox. And for a very, very short time left, we only got a couple of weeks left to get this lifetime deal. So let's take a look at what the internet says, right? Why are groceries still so expensive? Why? Are you kidding? Okay, I was hoping you'd say more, but that's it. Once up, what's the incentive to go back down? That's very true. We need something to incentivize it to go back down. And I think it's, well, like I said earlier, you as a consumer have to fight back. You have to, as the consumer, have to say, I'm not paying this anymore. Might start having cereal for dinner, right? Joe, period, Biden, period. Groceries are still expensive because we still have inflation, which is running higher than the government is telling us. I agree. We all know that we go to the store, we're not seeing something that costs 3% more than it did a year ago. Most of the time, it's 20 to 50% more. I mean, when's the last time you went to the store and you saw, oh, I'm going to buy this pack of gum. It's only 3 cents more than it was a year ago when it was a dollar. No big deal. More than likely, that pack of gum is like $1.25, maybe even $1.50. I'm going to tell you one other story real quick, and then I'm going to let you go. My local bar that I like to go to, man, I love going to this place. They got pool. They got darts. They got all the Guinness that I can drink, which is exactly what I need every chance I get. Every Friday and Saturday, I'm heading myself over there. They had inflation on their pool tables forever and ever. The pool tables for four quarters. You put four quarters in, you know, you got the pool balls come out. You're good to go. It's $1.25 now. Even my pool tables got hit with inflation. It's unbelievable. You know what else is unbelievable? The YouTube algorithm continues to suggest videos. I don't know how it works, but it says that one of these two videos is going to be the best video for you to watch right now. So click one of those to watch more, and I'll see you on the next Outlier Live. Have a great day. Talk soon.